Hello and welcome to the 84 Million Podcast. We're excited to have as our guest tonight, Loshan. So Loshan is a full-time Litecoin developer based in the United Kingdom. He's a member of the Litecoin Foundation, and possibly he's the Robin to Charlie Lee's Batman, or at least I like this analogy. We can discover whether or not it's accurate as we go along this evening. Loshan is building important things on Litecoin, which is what we want to explore today. So Loshan, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey.
Hey. Before we dive in and discuss kind of where you're building today on Litecoin, can you kind of tell us how you arrived at Litecoin or maybe a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been involved in Litecoin since, I think, late 2012 or early 2013. So it's been quite a while, over 10 years, and I'm not sure exactly when I got involved. But so I was part of the community, and for the first few years, I was just doing what most people do, just sharing Litecoin stuff to other people. But as years went on, around 2014 or 15, I started working on software because that's something I've always been interested in. And that's before I became like a professional software engineer. So I started working on Litecoin software back then.
Very interesting. So that's early, very early Litecoin. Were you on the kind of the initial mining conversations when everything kind of launched? Or did you come after that?
Yeah, the coin launched in 2011, and at that time it was CPU mined. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get in that early. Otherwise, so I'd be super rich, and I'd be.
You were 2014.
To you from my, in 2013-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. So if I was from back then, I would be talking to you from my mansion, but I don't have a mansion right now.
Indeed.
Maybe one day.
Indeed.
Yeah, but when I did get in, at the time, there were no Litecoin ASICs. So that's when everyone was mining on GPUs.
Okay.
I still remember having to buy a few GPUs to start mining Litecoin.
Wow. Yeah, I had and I repeat myself because it's the only mining story I have. I think initially I tried on an iPad a long time ago. I know that was 2013. And didn't get very far, and I just said, no, I'm thinking nothing's happening, and I just pulled the plug on that. I don't even know if it worked, but and then I had another friend who was building these mining machines, and it didn't justify the electricity, so I didn't buy it, even though it would have been like $400. And you know, the block rewards were pretty significant back then, and there wasn't a whole lot of competition, but needless to say, I am not in a mansion either. So we make our decisions, and we're here today. So that's the good news. So interesting. You were fairly young when you began your dev work. Of course, your profile, I believe, is when you were a child. And by the way, to our visual guests, clearly that Loshan's not here today. So for the podcasters that are listening, you can't see this, but he's with us, but he's not at the same time. So this is his profile picture here from his X account. And I believe on the foundation too, this is typically the photo you use. But did you work on any other cryptocurrencies besides Litecoin when you were entering this kind of domain, or you mentioned software?
I wasn't working on anything but Litecoin. I don't know. I think I was only really interested in Litecoin and Bitcoin. I knew that I wasn't up to, I wasn't too involved with Bitcoin either, because the entry to Bitcoin was much harder back then. But with Litecoin, it's something I could mine. I didn't even have to buy it, and I could build on stuff. Before working on Litecoin, I worked on some other stuff, but that was just not related to crypto at all.
And the software, that's just side stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Would we know about anything that you may have worked on?
It's unlikely.
Unlikely. And maybe it's regional. I know we're an ocean apart. Granted, digital things don't have a lot of borders in that regard, but you know, if it was a local organization you were working for, I mean, it's very unlikely that I would know what that organization might be. So either way, I figured I would ask. So let's maybe get more current now. You recently made an announcement regarding the implementation of MWeb on mobile or light clients. How's that going?
Yeah, so it's something we've been spending a lot of time on for the past few months, and it's been my main focus as well. So right now, what we've done is we've successfully implemented MWeb into LTC Suite, which is one of our libraries for building Litecoin applications. And then what we've done with LTC Suite is we've used it as the backend for Newborn, which is an alpha version of Light Wallet. So we're actually able to make MWeb transactions inside of what is an alpha version of Light Wallet. And we've started a test flight so people can join and test out MWeb on mobile.
Yeah, I've seen some screenshots. So my guess is that's where this thing will roll out when it's approved and passes all of your tests. How's the testing process been? Or maybe tell us about what that looks like.
Yeah, so for tests, we have internal tests like code tests. Those things have to pass. But I think more importantly, we have to get people actually testing the apps. So there's sometimes things that we don't pick up straight away from code. One of the examples of the thing I noticed is that in one of the alpha versions, when you open up the app, the transaction list doesn't pop up straight away. So it would appear as you have zero Litecoin for a few seconds, and it would take some time to spin up, and then it would update the transaction list. And for some people, they might be confused, and they'd be wondering, where are the coins all gone? Some people just, yeah. And there's a few bugs like that that you can only really find by testing in real life. And that's why we want to get as many people involved as we can. So if you're someone who's like really into Litecoin and want to help out, I'd suggest like joining the Telegram. And inside the Telegram, there's a link to the iOS alpha. And soon there should be a link to the Android alpha as well.
That's awesome. Because I know with the rollout on Core, there was a lot of testnet things that were happening at the time. So you do have something similar where the community can kind of help debug this whole thing. That's pretty exciting. I'm not on Telegram, but after the show, I'll get that link and I'll be glad to put that down in the show notes. So do we have any kind of rollout on when this may go live?
I believe Kerry, who is the team lead of Light Wallet, has said that he's aiming to get the app out ready for July in time for the Litecoin Summit in Nashville.
Beautiful. And that is this coming this summer. And I believe you're going to be speaking there.
Right, yeah. If you want to see me in real life, I guess come to Nashville.
There we go. There's your invitation to see what Lotion actually looks like, other than his profile picture. He's the great mystery until this point. I know others have met you on did you go to the cruise?
Yeah.
So you went on the birthday cruise.
I've been to one of the events.
You've been to all of them. Yeah, very, very, very good. So some of our listeners certainly have already met you then. I have not. I look forward to. And again, we're glad you're here with us tonight. So it sounds like Light Wallet will roll it out first, maybe May, maybe June. May would be kind of an anniversary month. That would be kind of neat. But it's coming within the next few months. That's pretty exciting. Then after you guys add it, I know other wallets are looking to pick it up as well. I had Diego Rivar Salazar on the show a few episodes ago, and he's ahead of the Stack Duo and the Stack Wallet. Who was very, very interested, being kind of privacy focused, in adding MWeb for Litecoin on their platform. And of course, he's already got Litecoin on the platform. So they want to do that upgrade. So would it be pretty simple for others to carry your work forward after this thing goes live?
Yeah, so there's quite a few paths forward for third-party wallets to implement MWeb. So our work on adding MWeb to LTC Suite has all been open source, so anyone can see what the changes are to implement MWeb into a light client code base, something that mobile wallets use. So if a developer wants to work on it themselves. They can use our LTC suite as reference and implement it themselves. Alternatively, it might be faster for them to just add LTC suite as a backend, and that would let them very quickly add Nmode support.
Okay. Has anyone been in communication with you about it so far, or we haven't gotten there yet?
We're actually in contact with quite a few different wallets. So it's the ones that have been very like interested in it are Cake Wallet, Stack Wallet, and I believe another newer one called Securus Wallet.
Okay. That's good. I mean,
There's,
Cake's great too. That's doesn't
yeah.
surprise me, but it's also very encouraging that things are happening and conversations are being had. So that's excellent.
Yeah, we're pretty happy with the situation with third-party wallets right now. Preferably we'd like to see as much adoption as possible, and that's not possible without many wallets supporting mWeb. Hopefully, we don't want it to be something like SegWit, where it took too many years to for every single wallet to support SegWit. Even now, there's a few wallets that aren't really properly supporting SegWit, at least to the level that we'd like them to. But with mWeb, I'm pretty focused, pretty sure that we can get them onboarded pretty quickly.
What, and I don't know if you have analytics. I know I don't believe, for example, with my conversation with Stack, I don't believe they have a whole lot of analytics, or at least personal details on people, and for good reason. But what do you expect will happen after this is active on mobile? Let's say Light Wallet and let's say Cake and Stack roll that out in the next few months. What do you think it's going to do to transactions? Any kind of ballpark expectation on how much it may increase versus the current usage of mWeb just being within the core kind of template?
I'm not very familiar with the number of transactions that happen on Light Wallet at the moment. You'd have to speak with Kerry, the Light Wallet team dev.
Sure.
Sorry, the Light Wallet team leader for that. But as far as I understand, there's quite a few users every single day, and there should be a few thousand, I think, transactions per day. So initially, what people are going to see Litecoin transactions will appear to decrease because these transactions will actually happen on the mWeb layer, and many analytics software don't actually include mWeb-related stats. But if you go to somewhere like mWeb Explorer, I think you'll see maybe a mWeb transaction every block compared to now, where you only really see mWeb transaction like once, like every 30 minutes.
That's interesting too, in terms of how main chain. I've never thought of that actually, because everything's bundled in mWeb, so you're just going to see more full blocks, but it'll be pretty obscure, which is the point, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat. But I know, I think generally speaking, we're assuming. I'm assuming. I don't have any special insight on who's using what and how much, but with it being on core, kind of, stabled within just that single platform, which I use, and I know Litecoiners do use core. I think it's a great node, et cetera, et cetera. But not everybody is using it right now. So with everybody having a phone in their hand, people having Cake, Stack, Light Wallet, I would imagine it's going to make things a lot simpler, especially if you're going to transact out in the world. Phone to phone or whatever. If somebody merchants are going to take it, let's say at the Litecoin Summit, we want to, do some exchanges with whatever vendors are there. They'll be able to do it on the spot. I mean, you'd have to carry around a laptop right now to actually function that way, or save addresses and do it later. So I think the entire or the idea that it's on mobile is going to be amazing. But I'm just trying to quantify how much more activity will we see, and I guess we can't really answer that right now. We'll find out.
Yeah, exactly. We'll find out very soon, hopefully. But the aim has been to get as much mWeb adoption as possible, and we know roughly that mobile support is very important for adoption. Most people, like you said, do use mobile wallets instead of full nodes. It's a lot more harder for people to get into running a full node, but we'd like to We'd like users to run a Ember, sorry, a light green pool node if they can as well.
Here, here. I think so too. Well, let's talk about core. Core needs to be updated for this to work, or has that already happened, hence that you're able to test?
Yeah, so we've deployed the changes needed to core in like a, how could you say it, like a release candidate version. So that's something that we're able to use. And I'm actually pretty happy to announce today, in a few minutes after our call ends, we'll be announcing the release of Litecoin Core 0.21.3 release candidate 3 for the public to test.
Very
And
cool.
if there's Yeah, and if there's no issues, I think we'd like to release 0.21.3 to the public within the next week.
Very cool.
And yeah, we're hoping as many people who are running full nodes right now are able to update. So I don't know if you're aware on how like Litecoin software works, but it requires a full node to send like small amounts of data related to the transactions. At least that's how it works right now to the mobile wallets. So if the pool node doesn't know how to create this information, it wouldn't be able to connect, or mobile wallets wouldn't be able to connect to the pool node to do it in a decentralized way.
This is what I'm understanding with that. If I'm going to have a Cake wallet or a Stack wallet or a Light wallet, they need to have their own version of a node to sync in, right? To manage all the
Right.
transactions. That's what we're talking about, essentially.
Exactly, yeah. So mobile wallets and light clients like Electron, they all connect to
A
I
main
guess,
node.
server that you can say, yeah, or a full node, and they're able to see the full state of the network, of the blockchain, without having to sync the entire blockchain, which is around 150 gigs right now. But by doing that, they do sacrifice some level of I guess you can say some security, because you're not fully validating everything. But there is a sacrifice, but it's makes things much easier for the average user to run.
Okay. So that's kind of the update helps us roll out mWeb on light clients, mobile clients. Are there any other core updates that will affect the users of core?
So this update will also include some small fixes, like fixes to an issue we've been seeing on macOS 14 and maybe 13 as well. But we fixed the issue where it's really hard to click on some of the user interface stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much it for 0.21.3. It's a small update. Well, it's pretty big for anyone who's interested in
Yeah,
mWeb for mobile, but
for mobile,
otherwise it's a small update. But we will be having 0. Or version 24 releasing later this year, and that's a pretty big update. And there's quite a few differences between in 24 that we don't have, but it includes changes to mWeb, support for view keys, and additional features as well.
Again, I've talked about Core on previous episodes. I've tweeted about it. 84 million's tweeted out about it. I think it's important for people to run a node, and this is apart from downloading mobile mWeb and that whole development, which is a big deal, and we're all excited for that. But kind of stepping backwards, Litecoin Core in and it of itself is important for people to be using. Can you just kind of make a short case for why people should run a node and download Core?
Yeah, if you're running a full node, you help validate the blockchain. You help one peer or one user connect to another user and transfer or peer out transactions that are new to the network. So the more users who are running Litecoin full nodes, the more decentralized Litecoin is, the less fewer centralized servers will be operating or connecting to the network.
And I think a lot of people think it sounds confusing, and I don't think it's very confusing at all. How do I, let's say I don't have Core, I don't know what it is. I don't know where to find it. How do I go about finding the software, adding it to my device, and running it?
Yeah, it's pretty easy, actually. So if you're a user, if you're a regular person, what I would recommend is, I guess you'll have like an older laptop or a computer that you're not really using, but find that computer. And I guess all you have to do is go to lightbrain.org and download the binary that's related for your operating system. So if you have a Windows computer, you download the Windows version of Lightbrain Core. And all you need to do after that is open port 9333 on your router. So that's the part that scares some people off. But there's a few websites on the internet where you can just search up your router's model and it will show you how to open a new port. It's literally a 1 minute job. It's not really technical at all. It just seems like that at the start, but you just need to install Lightbrain Core on a full node and open up port 9333, which is the Lightbrain mainnet port.
And if we don't open up the port, what's the difference?
If you don't open up the port, your node won't be contributing back to the network. You wouldn't be able to send new information to other nodes, basically.
And you're...
That's something you really want to do if you want to help like mWeb and mobile users.
And your peer count will increase as kind of a sign, correct? From like 8 to like 12?
Yeah, so... If you see that you're only connected to eight peers and you're not able to see any more than eight, you don't have any visibility to other users.
Right.
So yeah, if you see eight, just make sure that your port 9333 is open. And there's also websites which let you check if your port is open correctly.
Sure. And for people listening, they can still use it when it's closed, or let's say, I'll call it like a leecher node in the old torrenting language of yesteryear. It'll still work. You can still send transactions and you can still use mWeb and everything else. It's just you won't be, like LaShawn just said, contributing to kind of the greater ecosystem. So if we open up the port, which is just a little bit of a technicality, and I'm sure people on X, which is our primary platform, I'm sure they can help you out too. It's just another layer for you to contribute further through the program you're already running. So I think that's a good thing to bring up. I wanted you to comment on that. So I thank you. I think some people, if you're newer, you're not going to know what a node is, because I think we have a lot of great user experiences where, you know, I download Exodus or whatever wallet I'm using and it's all just there and I don't understand it, but it's pretty and beautiful. And I click, 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 and that's it. And people don't think to use maybe something like Core. Maybe they don't even know it exists, but it's very easy to download. It's very easy to install and run. And again, adjust a port so you can actually contribute to the network. Again, we're decentralized, right? So even if you're not a miner, you can confirm the transactions. Am I saying that appropriately, sir?
Yeah, you're saying it probably better than me.
Here. I don't know. But either way, I always like to encourage people to run nodes. Do you think the Blockchair node count is accurate? It's always in the like 900s. And I don't think I don't think it counts OmniLite, but I don't know.
I'm not sure if their node count is exactly correct. It can be pretty hard to find some nodes, especially nodes that are running locally or don't have their port exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Also pretty difficult to find nodes that are running under Tor for privacy reasons.
Sure.
And it's also pretty hard to discover, like, if you're a business and you're running a Lightbrain full node, you probably don't want to expose that to the rest of the internet in case someone tries to connect to you and they try to like attack your server or whatever. So they might close those nodes off. But I think there's quite a lot more than what Blockchair.
Blockchair, yeah. That's the one I use. There's probably different explorers that go into that. That's the one I typically use, and they have a nice, you know, beautiful count. But I was always wondering if it's actually accurate. So that's a good point about Tor, and that you can obfuscate your node, and for good reason. So we have more numbers probably than what are revealed on those websites. So that's good. Does OmniLite count as a node?
Probably. because it runs on the same port as regular Litecoin nodes, and it has the same magic number, which is like the constant that shows that you're a Litecoin node.
Mm-hmm.
It's also possible that blockchain is also catching some non-Litecoin related nodes as well, but only a few. So I'm not sure if you remember back in the day, a lot of coins, what they would do is they would start off with cloning Litecoin software for some reason,
mm-hmm.
and they might have forgotten to change some important constants like the port and the magic number. So sometimes you can see by just looking at the user agent, what's the part that says Litecoin core colon the version number, it might say something else.
Interesting. So Doge was, of course, a fork. What do we have? Vertcoin and a few, of course, Litecoin Cash. I shouldn't be naming these. I think they probably cleaned it up by the time they published, especially Doge. I don't think they're going to be mixed again. But yeah, that's a good point about if you forked it. Maybe there's some other Litecoin forks we don't know about that could be tethered into that. I don't know. It's probably negligible, though.
Yeah, it's very little, but I do see them sometimes.
Okay, very good. Well, back to MWeb. In the event you don't know what MWeb is, it's the Mimblewimble extension block. Our first episode on this podcast was with David Burkett, who is the lead developer for that. Check that episode out. It's a good one. We've mentioned it in many episodes, so I don't want to rehash entirely what it is, but I think it's significant that it's coming to mobile and could be here in the next few months. So I hope we are actually testing it and using it. Well, not testing it, using it at the Litecoin Summit in Nashville this summer. And of course, if you are interested in helping Loshan and others test it, it sounds like we do have a Telegram, and check the show notes for that. Also, Light.space, our friend Indigo Nakamoto, helped lead that endeavor. He has some crowdfunding, what do they call them, missions for MWeb and Stack Wallet and the Litecoin Developer Kit. So check all those out. It's a way you can contribute to things that Loshan and others are doing to bring all this great stuff forward and actually materialize it in the real world. So make sure you go and check out what's happening with MWeb on light.space. Let's talk about the dev kit, actually. I just mentioned it because that is one of the ones that are able to be crowdfunded through light.space. And I know there's already been some contributions towards that end. Can you just tell us what the Litecoin dev kit is and why it's important?
Yeah, so Litecoin dev kit is... what we're hoping to build with Litecoin DevKit is a fork of Bitcoin DevKit. So it's software that already exists, and we'd like to adapt it for Litecoin. And to put it simply, Litecoin DevKit is another library to build Litecoin applications with. It's written in the programming language Rust, and For any Rust fanatics, they would know how secure, safe, and fast Rust is. They talk about how blazingly fast Rust is. So there's quite a few benefits to using Rust or a Rust-based language. A Rust-based library for Litecoin apps. And we're hoping that we can find developers and funders to build out a Litecoin dev kit. And what else that means is any applications that do use like a Bitcoin dev kit, we'd be able to fork them over for Litecoin a lot more easily.
And what are some of those things? Can you give us some examples?
So one of the, let me think. I think that one of the bigger ones is LDK. So that's another library as well that uses Bitcoin dev kit. Mm-hmm. So LDK is a library that lets you do Lightning related stuff. I'll just keep at that, but it makes it really easy to deploy Lightning related technologies into your business or your application.
That's a good kind of statement you made for businesses or your personal endeavor that you may be building on these ecosystems. It would be for you to use this to roll it out.
Exactly. Yeah. And by funding something like this and developing something like this, you're actually helping other developers build on top of Litecoin. It makes it much easier for them to, it reduces barriers. I'd like to think
mm-hmm.
if you're a developer and you have a Rust-based application and you want to add Litecoin support. Imagine if you don't have a Litecoin library, it would be that much harder for them to also work on Litecoin DevKit and bring it to the market. So by doing this, it makes it much easier.
And I'm sure.
I imagine that a few explorers, some businesses like services and exchanges probably already use Bitcoin DevKit. It's possible. So for them, it would be much easier for them to add Litecoin support if that was the case as well.
And this sort of collective library would be peer reviewed too, which would also make it stronger, is my guess.
Yeah, the Litecoin developers, so David Burkett and I and a few of the others, we'd also review, and we're happy to help out in what ways we can.
Very good, very good.
To make sure that everything's safe.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that because I've seen it. And again, it's available on light.space to kind of crowdfund, and there has been support along those lines so far. So thanks for explaining that for us. Let's maybe move to litecoinspace.org. I was really excited about that when it launched. I'm still excited about it because I use it a lot. So you were behind the launch of litecoinspace.org. It's a beautiful Litecoin explorer. It was a type of fork too. Can you tell us about that platform, your experience in building it out, why people should use it? What are some of your favorite features on it? And are there maybe some features on it that we may not know about at a first glance? Just kind of explore litecoinspace.org.
Yeah. So if you're a person who's interested in Litecoin statistics at all, I think that Litecoin Space is the best place to find stats on Litecoin network, Litecoin mining, transactions, or anything to do with Litecoin, really, with the exception of MWeb. We haven't added MWeb yet to Litecoin Space, but that's on the plan. Litecoin Space, it's a pretty cool explorer, and if you're at all curious about how Litecoin works, and you're pretty new, and if you consider yourself a newbie, you can actually make a Litecoin transaction, look up your transaction ID, and it will show you in a visual way how your transaction is being sent from where to the input to the output. There'll be a lot of technical stuff that you can open up that's normally hidden away. But it's a good resource for people who are not only new to Litecoin, but also for people who are developers, and they need to be able to see if transactions have occurred or if transactions have gone through. It makes it much easier for you to add Litecoin support to your apps.
I think it's just extremely beautiful because there's a lot of block explorers out there, but none of them actually like visually display what's happening in a way that makes sense. I think none is an appropriate absolute I could use, but I could be wrong. But obviously this started on Bitcoin. You know, it was the mempool and you forked it for Litecoin, which was, I believe, the first bounty that Indigo kind of spearheaded with light.space. I think it was actually before light.space was a thing, but a big success and gorgeous. And anybody who types in litecoinspace.org can immediately see what I'm referring to. And then we had a special event with the halving where you did something where the block turned gold. That was cool. But anyway, I would suggest it's definitely the most attractive block explorer that I've seen for Litecoin, for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. We actually spent quite a while just selecting the colors for the explorer. Even though we did from mempool space, selecting colors in a color scheme is very difficult, especially because there's, I think, maybe like 30 to 40 different colors.
Wow.
And Robbie Coleman, the creative director for the Litecoin Foundation, spent quite a while
Okay.
with the colors. Yeah.
Well, it seems like a good fit. It turned out beautifully. So I love it. I love it. Any chance that MWeb will be integrated to those statistics?
Yeah, I'm hoping to do that. But so Litecoin Space, the way it works is it connects to two different softwares. So one is a library called Rust Litecoin, And the other is another, I guess it's an Electrum server, the back end for Electrum-based wallets called, I don't know how you would say it. I've always read it out. It's called ELECTRS, Electors, I guess. And those two libraries need mWeb support added to them. And once once mWeb support is added to both those two libraries, we'd be able to find mWeb related stats and put them into the visual part of the website.
It's probably a lot of work. I don't know if you could pull what was or what's in place from mWeb Explorer, but I think it would be extremely amazing if mWeb was integrated into that platform. It would be basically an invincible platform at that point.
Totally agreed.
So that would be great, and just was curious about it. So sounds like there is a desire to go that direction.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good. OmniLite, it's a few years old now, but it is not dead. I wanted to talk about it because I think it came out of nowhere. I remember seeing screenshots, and it's like, wait, what's going on here? Litecoin, we can do NFTs now. And I know now we have ordinals, but tell us about OmniLite and kind of what led you to kind of release that into the ecosystem. And how's it looking now in 2024?
Yeah, so OmniLite is something that Charlie asked me to work on initially. But originally, we wanted to get Tether to support Litecoin-based Tether transactions. At that time, Tether was possible on Bitcoin using a network called Omni. And we wanted to fork Omni for Litecoin. At the time, Bitcoin only transactions were just way too expensive, right? Any transaction on the Bitcoin network is way too expensive. It's too costly, too slow. It's just very annoying to use. But with Litecoin, you have the second biggest PoW coin, and your transactions are pretty fast and very, very, very cheap. So it's something that we wanted Tether to add, and they would need Omni support. Unfortunately, they haven't added support. Maybe if users are interested and they annoy the Tether team, they might add Tether on Litecoin. But what we found is that it was possible not just to create tokens on top of the Litecoin network, but it was also possible to create NFTs. And at the time, I think NFTs at that time were just very, very new. And so there was a lot of interest in adding images to the network.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think anybody was expecting it. I do know that Tether was initially on Omni for Bitcoin. Are they still technically? I know if you use the Explorer, you can still see the entry, kind of like how on OmniLite's Explorer, you can see kind of in Seriatim what tokens or what was built on top of it. Tether's still on Bitcoins. I didn't know if it was converted to something else over time, or if that's still what's functioning.
Tether was originally or initially launched on Omni on the Bitcoin network.
Right.
But as far as I understand, last year they removed support for Omni Tether, which is unfortunate, but the reality is no one was using it because the fees are just too high.
Yeah.
Everyone is pretty much using, I think, Tron and maybe ETH, but ETH is also quite low as well because of the expense from fees. But it's unfortunate that they had to remove the thing from the Tether.
Yeah.
It's possible that there are still some Tether on the Omni chain. They just haven't been swapped over to a new network yet because of any. I'm not exactly sure why that would be, but it's unfortunate, really.
Yeah,
I think.
I wasn't sure if they had migrated, and I don't know if that's even the appropriate language, but if they had migrated off of Bitcoin Omni, because I don't think anybody really realized it was on Omni. But then again, there was that historical record that you could see was there that it was on Omni, layer for Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly. The funny thing is, Tether was, I believe it was designed by the people who worked on Omni. But It's not the same people anymore. The same people don't work on it anymore. But yeah, so it kind of separated and went in a completely different path. Unfortunately, Omni didn't survive, and Tether has done quite well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, OmniLite is interesting. It's still active. We already mentioned that you can download the client and use it as a node, even if you don't deal in, I don't know, if, tokens on top of Litecoin. Because I know there's LRC tokens now too, but that's different. But let's say the OmniLite tokens, whether or not you use them or create them or house them within your node, you can still use it as a full functioning wallet. I do know Monochromicorn has been developing a lot on that platform, and I'd like to have him on the show too. We've talked about that because I don't entirely understand what he's doing with his light worlds, but I think a lot of that is based in Omni. So he's had a lot of interest in developing with Omni.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. He's been, as far as I understand, he's been working on it for quite some time, and he's close to launch, or maybe, yeah, he's close to launch.
Yeah, and he has a, I believe, a
And
decentralized exchange and a wallet and different things. Again, I hope to have him on to discuss these things, but he's released this publicly. He shared it. I think you shared a few things recently about it. And so there is Litecoin developer activity on OmniLite in 2024.
right.
So maybe we can't go further until he's on the show, but I think it's interesting. I wanted to ask you because you kind of let the cat out of the bag a few years ago on it, and we still have the opportunity to build there. It's another kind of area in the Litecoin sandbox. If somebody wants to build, they can. So that's cool. We're getting more of those opportunities, it seems, all the time. So we'll land the plane on that. But I do want to talk about Lightning. You mentioned it already. As much as we don't need Lightning on Litecoin currently, we do have it. Of course, we were the first network that proved it. The first transaction, to my knowledge, was between Strike's Jack Mallers and Charlie Lee of Litecoin. I want to say San Francisco and Zurich or somewhere in Switzerland was the first Lightning payment on Litecoin. Refer to Charlie Lee's 10-year thread for that. He goes through an extensive history about Litecoin. It's an amazing kind of historical account. But anyway, that's where Lightning on Litecoin kind of started. But we haven't seen a lot of activity with Lightning. What do you think about Lightning on Litecoin now? Do you think we need it? Is there still development along those lines?
yeah, so at the moment, well, Lightning was originally designed as a way to expand Bitcoin. The number of transactions you can make on Bitcoin is very limited. I think it's 7 transactions per second. That's the theoretical maximum, and that's just too small to scale like worldwide. It's nowhere near the number of transactions per second that the Visa network hits per day. So initially, that was what Lightning Network was designed to do. And Litecoin, as you know, blocks are not full. We have plenty of capacity, especially with the introduction of mWeb, which basically doubles the capacity of the network. So yeah, there's no reason for us to adopt Lightning whilst blocks are not full. But that's not the only use case for Lightning. Lightning lets you do quite a few more things. Like, some of the most interesting things have been related to Lightning for me have been atomic swaps, or sovereign swaps, swapping between on-chain and off-chain, and also things like there's a few different assets that the people are, sorry, I think the best way to describe it is OmniLite, but on Lightning Network. So all the benefits of Omni, but with all the benefits of Lightning. So instant transactions of tokens. And there's quite a bit of scriptability as well. So it's, I guess, like an alternative to Ordinals and OmniLite. And that's pretty interesting, I think, for users at least.
I think so too. I know at one point there was a discussion of the Plasma wallet. Are you still working on Plasma, kind of an all-in-one Litecoin wallet with Lightning support for mobile?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows?
You're
Unfortunately,
busy.
I can't say too much about that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I follow you on X, but I know we haven't heard much about it, but I think it would be pretty neat if that would materialize. We don't
Maybe if you find a
need
cheaper.
it. We don't need it. I understand we don't need it, but it'd be great to have it. What were you going to say?
Maybe if you come to Nashville, maybe if the viewers are interested in coming to Nashville, they can maybe see Plasma.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know. Who knows?
Hint, hint, hint. Okay, that's pretty good. I like that. I plan on going. The tickets are still on sale. It's $84. So check out the Litecoin Foundation and you can find those tickets. Buy one for yourself and buy one for a friend, and show up in Nashville this summer. I think it's going to be a fun event. So let's see. Any other developments on the horizon that you're seeing with Litecoin? I know we talked about Core, we kind of hinted at Plasma, we talked about OmniLite, mWeb's coming to mobile. Anything else that's happening that's pretty exciting currently that we may not know about?
Yes, for me, one of the things that I wanted to do is make it much easier for people to run Litecoin infrastructure. So, for example, that's like running a full node or running an Electrum server or even running your own version of Litecoin Space. And so, what I've been working on whenever I have spare time is adding like or do Dockerizing Litecoin-related stuff, hopefully to add it to platforms like Umbral. So some people might be familiar with something called Umbral. It's an operating system that you can install on a Raspberry Pi or any spare computer you have, and it makes it really simple to run basically any software. But it's just a single click, and it lets you install things like Bitcoin Core or a lot of different software, and I think that's something that would make it much easier for people to get onboarded. It's a lot easier, at least in my opinion. I don't know.
So you're working along those lines. This is out of the blue. What are your opinions on, do you have an opinion on ordinals? They're divisive.
To be honest, I'm not sure what to think about ordinals. I think it's really exciting to see the community be so enthusiastic. And I'm so happy. I honestly didn't think that we'd see that much excitement around Ordinals. And there's so many new developers who've entered the scene, especially with Litecoin,
Yeah.
to build out Ordinals related software like Luke Wright, Anthony, a few others as well. So it's really exciting from that point on. Alternatively, it does lead to what some people are calling
Congestion.
spam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's necessarily spam, but it wasn't really designed, or the Litecoin network wasn't really designed to handle NFTs on layer one. It's,
Yeah.
I think a better way to do it would be off-chain. But yeah, I'm not totally sure
It's
what
interesting.
to think.
Yeah.
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 I'm
It's
in a
hard to
dilemma.
evaluate it. It's hard to evaluate. I'm really excited in many ways. I mean, I've kind of toyed around with it and grabbed a few. I mean, there's marketplaces popping up all the time and it's crazy to see and it's out of control. But that's okay, you know. And I think time will tell to see if this has momentum and steam to continue. Part of me thinks it's gonna, but you know, we'll see. But so far, Litecoin's handling it just fine. I just was curious. Again, I know there's a lot of opinions. Some people hate it. Some people think it's the greatest thing. It was something again unexpected that we now have to kind of grapple with. And it's interesting. I was pretty skeptical early. For example, with that conversation with David Burkett in episode one, I was really, really skeptical. I think I'm a little bit more comfortable with them now. And again, I've admitted, you know, there's some excitement, actually, I can say, with some of the things that are happening there, in terms of, kind of charming pixelized things that are stored on the blockchain. But it is a diversion from Litecoin as sound money. Again, mWeb makes Litecoin a better form of money. Ordinals don't really do that, but it's still kind of fun. So we'll leave it at that. Maybe we should go to the Q&A, unless you want to kind of mention anything before we go that direction.
Just one more thing about Ordinals. I feel I might have been a bit too negative. I don't think it's as much of an issue for Litecoin as it is on Bitcoin. With Bitcoin, because of the issues with scaling, they're pretty much at full capacity. Ooh, what is that?
No problem.
Sorry. So Bitcoin is pretty much at full capacity, and the Ordinals have just made things worse. It's made transactions way more expensive, transactions way slower. But Litecoin is just nowhere near. And there have been quite a few recent full blocks, mostly to do with Ordinals, or pretty much all of them are Ordinal-related transactions. But that's not an issue. People are still getting their transactions delivered on time for basically almost
And
nothing.
yeah, very cheaply.
But the thing is, Ordinals will eventually be replaced by something else. So the developer of Ordinals is planning to replace, or sorry, the developer of BTC20 is planning to replace BTC20 with Runes, which is meant to be more efficient with efficient in many different ways. And I think after that, maybe in the future we'll be seeing a layer two technology, something maybe on Lightning, something like Omnibot, which is currently a work in progress. It's a successor to Omni, but on the Lightning network. And maybe as the years go down, more and more transactions come to Litecoin. We see people migrating to alternative technologies for doing NFTs and anything else where it's not payments focused.
I've seen a lot about runes, and I'll admit my ignorance regarding runes. If you want to talk a little bit more about them, feel free. I'm actually curious about them. Because again, they kind of seem very recent, and it's kind of like what Ordinals was last year. It's kind of what runes is now, and it just kind of swept. So what exactly is going on with runes for Bitcoin?
To be honest, I haven't really been following it too much.
Same.
I wish I had, but as far as I understand, BTC20 will be deprecated after Runes is released, and it's more efficient the way it handles ETXOs and a few other things. So it should be cheaper, it should be more space efficient on the blockchain, a few other things as well.
Noted. Yeah, LRC20, if they are indeed a direct fork of the token standard on layer one Bitcoin, it's definitely not user friendly. I don't think I'm that much of a dinosaur, but it seems like to me these tokens were released in packets, and I'm like, what, how do you divide them? Like, how is there divisibility? And again, I need to have some of those folks to talk about that specifically, even though it's been over a year. I still think some of it's very strange. And maybe it's going away by route of runes. Granted, we don't have runes on Litecoin right now, but that's very interesting stuff. And it sounds a lot easier than I think it is to function with those tokens. Because again, like if I get a bundle of 2,000 whatever tokens, I don't know how to subdivide them into single units to actually send you, right? That's how I'm seeing it. I could be wrong. Maybe I am indeed a dinosaur. I probably am to a degree, but it's what's happening with that? Did you notice this? I mean, that's kind of was my immediate question. They seem like data packets rather than actual or transaction based tokens, even though they're called tokens.
I'm not totally familiar with the situation. I've just been focused on. I don't know. Sometimes whenever I get focused on something, I just don't do anything else.
That is a wise answer,
But
and I don't feel quite as ignorant. So it doesn't seem to be straightforward for me, and it sounds like you don't have a lot more insight than I do.
yeah,
Okay.
unfortunately, no.
So we'll see.
Honestly, I should have, this is something I should be familiar with, but I just haven't had time.
Yeah, fair enough. There's a lot of things happening all over the place. I can't keep track of it, but more conversations will be had. So again, we'll see if I can get a somebody on the show in the future, Anthony on Chain or something like this, to discuss actually how these things work. And maybe I will have my questions answered. That would be great. But I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one with these user experience questions with these Lite or LRC tokens, because to me it's very strange. But either way, we'll let it go at that. We'll move to the question and answers. We've got a few of them from the community, so let's go that direction now. So Lighthouse Al, he said, "What's it like to have a rabbit as a roommate?" And he has two more questions after that.
Yeah, so it's pretty nice. He's nice. His girlfriend is not nice.
Okay.
His rabbit girlfriend. But yeah, get a rabbit if you can. I think they're better pets than dogs and cats.
Rabbits are better than dogs and cats. I've always been a dog person. I've never had a cat. My niece has a cat. I'm sorry, not a cat, a bunny, a rabbit, a hare. Yes, she does. I have not had one in my home, but they're very cute and very seasonal right now. So very good. And he says this, why are these Litecoin developers the most handsome? I need a good answer on that.
Yeah, so the real answer is when Charlie was hiring people to work on Litecoin, he made sure that everyone who works on Litecoin is handsome and beautiful. And if you don't get a score above, I guess, 7 out of 10, you basically wouldn't be let onto the team. No matter how qualified you are, you had to be pretty beautiful.
It's an unreasonable standard, but I'm glad you made the cut. Very, very, very good. The next question's from Master BTC LTC. He says, "Was Lotion really 13 when he learned about Litecoin?" Again, we kind of got around that question, but I never specifically asked it.
Yeah, I was pretty young. I'm not sure, exactly sure what age I was, but I was pretty young. I think when I was mentioning how I got into Litecoin, well, the exact circumstances around that are I was poor. I was a teenager. I didn't have a job, obviously, but I wanted money. And I think I remember seeing people make money by renting out like video game servers, like Minecraft servers. And I thought that's something I could possibly do, but I knew one issue is that, well, there's a few issues. I've never run any servers myself. I also don't have a static IP. I didn't know anything more than that. I didn't know anything about hosting servers or anything like that. But yeah, so I was looking for other ways of getting involved or getting money with my computer, and somehow I found Bitcoin on the internet, and I very quickly found out that it's not possible to make any meaningful amount of Bitcoin with the computer I had, because Bitcoin was using something called FPGAs or ASICs. Yeah, I think it was FPGAs at the time, which is something I just didn't have. I couldn't figure out how to buy it one or anything like that. So I went on to Bitcoin.info, the Bitcoin forum. Sorry, is it the Bitcoin? Yeah, I think it's the Bitcoin forum. And I found out alternatives to Bitcoin, and one of the top ones was Litecoin, and that's how I found out Litecoin. And
It's still true. It is a top alternative to Bitcoin. It's the perfect substitute, as we like to say. Were you the youngest Litecoin developer?
I think so. I think if you include other developers who are building on Litecoin, like Luke Wright,
Well,
I
he's
think
young,
Luke
yeah.
is younger than me.
Now I think that's correct. Yeah. But he's newer. You certainly arrived earlier on the scene than Luke did, but yeah, he is young. Yes. Episode 4, he was on with us, which was a pretty neat conversation. Coffee Catcher, he says, we often say that all Bitcoin developers are Litecoin developers too. Is that the case? Really? How much is that true? What are the real difficulties of porting Bitcoin code to Litecoin?
Right, yeah. I think he's totally right. All Bitcoin developers are basically Litecoin developers. A lot of the technology has really helped out Litecoin. But we have to do some additional tweaks on top of their work as well. So what was the second question again? Sorry.
Yeah, it was loaded. How much, he basically saying, how much is it true, and what are the real difficulties of porting Bitcoin code to Litecoin?
Yeah, so it's not really too difficult with the actual part of writing code to port Bitcoin to Litecoin. Those changes aren't too difficult. They're pretty simple, in fact. The issue is testing. Testing is a huge issue, especially when you're dealing with people's money. You have no idea. We have no idea how much people are relying on our software. And if they put, for example, $1 million into a wallet that we build, and we do something that it makes them lose all their money, then that's just not what we want to happen. So
Couldn't
we do a
imagine.
lot of testing, a reviewing, and that sort of thing. Whenever I have spare time, I've been adding to my replacement for Litecoin.info, which is I've been rebuilding that website to be like a technical source for Litecoin-related changes.
Awesome.
It's still a work in progress, so it's not the one you can see on Google right now. It's currently only on GitHub,
Okay.
but it shows all the different things that a developer would have to do to port Bitcoin software over to Litecoin. And yeah, if you go onto that website right now, you'd see that there's not too much, but it's not as simple as copy and paste,
Okay.
even though we are accused of copy and pasting.
Yeah, I
I
mean,
wish it was that simple.
right. And I think that's a reduction, probably partially a slam. But they should copy and paste mWeb. I don't think they're up to the challenge. They could, but they won't. My guess. Maybe I'm wrong. Pensive cheap. I don't know how to say this gentleman's username. Sir, how can you add mWeb LTC20 inscriptions to Litecoin mWeb? Is it possible to bridge inscriptions on Litecoin to Litecoin mWeb?
I think that there is some things that you can do with inscriptions and mWeb, but mWeb is kind of limited in that, as far as I understand, mWeb has fewer scripting than the main net. I think so. I'm not totally 100% sure. So you'd have to confirm with David Burkett or also one of the Ordinals related developers like Luke, right, or Anthony. But I do know that Luke was working on a project where he's able to do something similar to like a lottery system, I think.
Yeah, he
And
did.
that was by using mWeb. I'm not too familiar with that.
Yeah, I'm not either. I did one test where I sent an ordinal in and described what happened when I tried to pull it out. David Burkett had a comment that he wanted to share with me, but he has not yet regarding how he thinks it might work. But he hasn't publicly published any posts on that thread. But yes, the Litecoin Labs did do literally like lottery, not ticket types, kind of pixelated pixel graphics of a ticket, and they put them in mWeb, and they suggested people should pull out, and I guess the 0.001 denomination or something like this, to see if they get it on like a lottery based system. I tried, I didn't successfully pull anything out, but I thought it was a neat kind of test. So it's still somewhat of a mystery to me what happens when you send an ordinal into mWeb and then pull out of mWeb. I did it once successfully, but I think it's because there was no transactions in between and with coin control. But again, I don't know. So hopefully that.
Yeah, I think Yeah, I think right now everything is just very experimental. So you should definitely not send any ordinals into mWeb addresses unless you know what you're doing, unless you're like a developer. But the Litecoin Labs people, the people I've talked with, they do see some promising things, some unique things that we can do with Litecoin that we can't do with Ethereum or Bitcoin's ordinals. Oh, I don't know about theory, but yeah, it's quite interesting. Our network is more advanced than Bitcoin in this case.
That is
I think that's pretty
interesting.
cool.
And it's funny, I'm gonna add my own question here. Jay from the foundation kind of retweeted the other day about Litecoin having more developer activity than Bitcoin per a recent GitHub stat. So is this correct?
I'm not totally sure. I know we've been pretty active, but I don't think we've been as active as the Bitcoin devs, because the Bitcoin devs aren't just a small group of people. It's literally anyone who uses Bitcoin and who wants to push a pull request. So the people who maintain the code base might have been inactive for the period of time that was posted compared to us. Because we're currently working on 0.21.3 and V24. But I don't think we're as active as Bitcoin. I'm not totally sure if that's correct.
It's a looks like a scrape from GitHub per however they're populating their stats. It was correct. But I thought that was interesting. So there's definitely work
Maybe we're
happening on
just more
Litecoin.
active over a small period of time, I guess.
Perhaps, but either way, we're active and it's good.
Oh yeah.
Kenny says, is there still an NDA? I don't know if he's referring. I was kind of ruminating over that. Is it, I don't know if that's the El Salvador trip a few years ago or that commercial that was discussed at one point. I really don't know where he's going with that.
I'm not too sure either. If there was an NDA,
We're probably not
people
talking
would
about it.
have. Yeah, they no, it's not even that. If there was an NDA, nobody would have told me anything.
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna accidentally leak something.
I hope
Yeah.
not. Nothing is leaked on the show. Episode 14. It's not happening. No leaks. Next question, Jimbo 1026. Why does LTC continue to decline versus BTC when so many great developments are happening? When will a prominent Litecoin evangelist join us? Nita Saylor, Max Keiser, Fink, Kevin O'Leary type. When LTC ETF? So let's break that into two parts.
Okay, so firstly, I'd like to say I'm not a trader. I'm not like one of these economist people. But so anything I say is just my opinion. I think Litecoin is currently really undervalued right now. Out of most of the cryptocurrencies, the thousands of cryptocurrencies that exist, Litecoin is definitely in the top maybe five, at least in usage. And in development and in a way where you can actually use it and it's not vaporware. We have a
Absolutely.
plan. We want Litecoin to be a digital payments network, and that's what it is. We haven't promised something we can't deliver, and it's really unfortunate that people are hyping rubbish and. I think ultimately everything is down to hype. It's not even about what's promising or the technology, at least the way it is right now. Especially during this current bull market, people have figured out that you don't even need to build any technology. All you need to do is create a crap coin called Joe Budden or something. Just one letter meme tokens. The people know that it has no value, it has no usage or anything, and people are just speculating. But I think as time goes on, people will see the use cases for Litecoin, and that's actually of actual use compared to crap coins. I think that maybe something like ETFs could help for that side with Litecoin. I'm not so sure because we need more mature investors. I don't know what else to say. Investors are just too into memes.
Yeah. I'm going to interject here to Jimbo. I think there's a lot happening on Litecoin. This whole episode was devoted to that. This whole podcast is devoted to that. And like LaShawn says, I think we're beyond the speculative phase. You know, we're going on 13 years this October with 100% uptime. Now, some of that was, as we referred to in the previous episode with Charlie Lee, a grace of perhaps Bitcoin remedying a code before Litecoin Core adopted it. But they were the test net for Litecoin in that case. But yeah, I think if you look at BitPay, it's the number one cryptocurrency for payments. And that was what this whole chain, the Litecoin, was created to be. The cryptocurrency of payments, and it is. That's actually a fact over the course of multiple months with BitPay, for example. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things happening, and I think as I would agree with you, LaShawn, that things are grossly undervalued because maybe some hype factor. Although we have some of that now with ordinals, we have a lot of that hype stuff, to be fair, more than maybe ever. So we're getting some of that too, for good or ill. We have some of that, but Litecoin as a money, as an actual payments network, is amazing, and that's not changing. I think only more people will discover that. So anyway, that's my two cents on that. Did you want to comment, Loshan, on about the Litecoin evangelists? Do you think we need a Saylor, Max Keiser Fink, or Kevin O'Leary for Litecoin?
To be honest, I don't think so. I think Litecoin is the money of the people. It's not a pump and dump scheme for VCs or whatever.
Yeah. And we actually have Kevin O'Leary to a degree. I know Master made a meme a few years ago how he said he had a little Litecoin with his Bitcoin. So we actually, to a degree, do have Kevin O'Leary. I think we're still feel very grassroots. And I think that's a great thing for Litecoin, that the foundation has a role, and they have a very special role, and I've always supported them. And I think everybody should that likes Litecoin. And not expect the world of them. And by that I mean individuals that have the talent, the time, the idea that they're the ones that should pick up the ball and do something, right? And that's what we get to do in the absence of these kind of prominent types like Saylor and Keiser and, you know, Fink. So my challenge would be, you know, if you're wondering about something needing to happen that you desire to happen, you should step up and do it. Build something. You know, there's a lot to be done with Litecoin, and a lot of things happening on Litecoin. And to just kind of sit back and pitch that we need this or that from afar without contributing, I have a personal problem with that. And I really don't like the flack that the foundation gets about that they need to be some propaganda machine to like force the number to go up, you know, perpetually and without interruption. Like, this is not reality. So, and maybe we have more private groups, again, private groups that want to start PR for Litecoin and advocate it in different ways. You know, that's kind of what this channel's about. You know, we just want to get the message out. So I like that we're still grassroots. I think Bitcoin felt like this at one point. That was before I was involved. And that's a totally different animal now. And, you know, the conferences are kind of ever evidence of that. If you kind of survey the crowds and the central talking points from year to year, you know, it's changed a lot, and I think it's not, like you said, a cryptocurrency for the people anymore. I mean, that's pretty obvious, especially when it's unaffordable to transact on it. And I'm not slamming Bitcoin. That's not the point of this. I like Bitcoin, but I don't think it's the cryptocurrency for payments, for example. I'll leave it at that. Do you want to add anything there?
Sure. So if you're into Litecoin like I was back in the day, and you have some sort of talent that you can help Litecoin with, maybe it's video editing, maybe it's programming, maybe it's marketing, then come and get involved. That's what I did back in 2013 to 2015. I was part of the community just like most of you were. And if you can help out, come help us out. We've always been a voluntary, volunteer focused network. We don't have a pre-mine. we were fairly launched. So everyone who's involved with Litecoin is involved with it for the right reasons. We're not here to pump and dump, or we don't have any intentions of, like, I don't know. But yeah, if you can get involved, please reach out, and you'll be doing much more to help Litecoin succeed than just, I guess, sitting on Twitter.
Yeah, right. It's a temptation. We sit on Twitter. I'm like, man, is it worth our efforts, you know? Anyway, yes, we're not leaving X. We're still there, but the environment can be absolutely toxic, and just extremely negative sometimes. But we persist anyway. I don't think Litecoin has done anything wrong, but I do. In other words, I don't second guess Litecoin for a minute, but sometimes the community, I do. Not all of it, not all of it. Just there's that vibe sometimes, just like that the air's been taken out of the room because of these cycles. It's like, this is part of it, guys, you know, and it doesn't affect Litecoin, the asset. So hopefully we can remain positive. I think overall the Litecoin community are very positive people. I think our ethos are intact. I don't think we had the Bitcoin moment of, they've had challenges with their price increases, meaning nominal value in United States dollars, whatever national currency you're looking at. That's changed Bitcoin and the community a lot. So the next question comes from Ragnarok 12388. He wants to know your opinion on drive chains, and is the trade-off worth it?
To be honest, I haven't looked too much into drive chains. It's an interesting technology. Maybe it'll be adopted into Litecoin, maybe not. Not totally sure. But if you are interested, I think the best person to ask would be Paul. I think his name is Schwartz. I'm not too sure, but he'll be at the Litecoin Summit in Nashville, and he'll be presenting something. So I think it's very interesting, but I'm not too sure about if it should be or if it shouldn't be introduced into Litecoin.
Yeah, I was actually
So
really.
I'm,
Go
yeah.
ahead.
I was going to say that I'm just as interested to hear his talk as pretty much everyone else.
Yeah, I'm
I
extremely
think it.
interested. I'm extremely interested to hear him. I was very pleased to see him added to the kind of roster of speakers, and his willingness to come talk to Litecoiners, I think, is awesome. Who knows? I'm very much looking forward to that talk. I've listened to him do different episodes. I know he's gone at length, like hours and hours, with the Vlad Costea on the Bitcoin Takeover podcast, and he's got some interesting ideas. So yeah, that's another reason to come to the summit and have a seat in the room with him to see what he's going to share with us there. Yeah, drive chains are interesting. So, well, that's it for the Q&A, sir. I appreciate you coming on the show. We're surprisingly at our normal sweet spot of about 1 hour and 15 minutes or so, albeit we'll edit a few moments out of this probably. But I appreciate you being here. Is there anything you want to leave us with today before we end the show?
Buy that coin and make it go to $1,000 so I can buy a Lamborghini. I don't know. To be honest, I think it was pretty much what I said last. If you can help out in some way and you have some sort of skill, like with social media, with with programming, or video editing, it will be something that you can really help out with. If you can come to us, just contact us on contact@litecoin.net. Or reach out on social media, and I think we can really use people's help, people's skills.
Hear, hear. Well, we'll leave it at that, Loshan. And again, our guest Loshan, a developer for Litecoin, is found on X at Loshan1212. And again, refer to the show notes. We'll put that Telegram group in there and have a few other useful links. So in the meantime, sir, maybe we'll have you back in the future when the mWeb rolls out. But if nothing else, I look forward to seeing you on Twitter, and I look forward to seeing you at the summit this summer.
Thank you, everyone.